Milo, welcome back. Welcome back to 3CR.
Hi. Thanks, James, for having me.
I love the EP. I've got to say, Thank you. Dawn is my favourite song. I love the eroticism of it. Tell us about that track.
Yeah, that was actually the first song that I made for the project, really. Thanks for having me on again. It's really good to see you again. Dawn, it came about 2.5 years ago now. And was the first one that I was like actually touching into a bit of more, my erotic side, if you will. So it was the first very sensual song to put out, but it sort of set the tone for the next couple of years of like my writing and being a bit more vulnerable and like sensual. We shot a music video for that as well in Royal Park with a drone that my friend just randomly had, happened to be staying with us because it was a housemate's friend. And we just went and shot this cool music video, and then that was the first music video I really did.
You must have got some great images from the drone.
It was really cool. I remember the day specifically, like, if you've seen the video, I have like this blue silk fabric like over me, and I just had this vision of being in this open field with the wind blowing in it, almost like this flame. So I had this very vague vision that I was explaining to my friend. I'm like, let's just do this and see what happens. He was just a master with the zone. Full 360 shots around me, big zoom outs. Like the last shot on the video, can you hear me well? The last shot on the video is a massive shot that just zones out and you can see the whole city skyline. It was sick, yeah.
It's a beautiful EP. I'm surprised you're calling it an EP because it really is an album.
Yeah, it's a bit funny. I think I just wasn't ready to call something an album yet. Like, these songs have all been made over the past, like, couple years. And as much as I tried to make it a cohesive project, I was still just like... Things were made in different stages of my mixing skills, my producing skills, my writing skills. So it's very much a journey of, like, where I'm at, I guess. And I just wasn't quite ready to be like, nah, let's go full. We'll do the vinyl. We'll do, like, label support, proper promotion, cohesive music videos. That's what I want to do for like a full-on album, but right now I'm just like, no, we'll just call it an EP, even if the streaming services are calling it an album.
I mean, that must have taken the pressure off, right? Calling it an EP meant that you didn't have to do all of that rigmarole. You could just focus on the music, focus on the really cool video.
I like a cohesive project, but I think in this era of streaming, everyone's attention span is really bad. And I want to cater a bit more away from that quick, I can listen to one song here. You know, I want to make music that people can come to and listen to the whole thing and not feel like, but I just didn't feel like I was at that stage yet with like, the whole production thing. Like the furthest we've gone, for example, right now is we're literally making some CDs at home today to sell at the gig on Sunday. But I was like looking at vinyl and I'm like, there's just all these extra things that go into doing that. Like the way the mastering's formatted, and it was just a bit too complex for me right now. So I was like, no, EP it is.
The EP really is a mood album, a mood EP. One of the tracks is called Mood, but it's very kind of moody and very thematic. Mm. You know, you've got dawn, you've got morning, you've got all of these emotions that come with an intense physical relationship and an intimately emotional relationship as well.
Yeah.
And you've kind of really nailed that with the thematic sequence of the EP Cause and Effect.
Mm. Yeah, like I guess like the main theme through it was... Literally, it's like cause and effect, and like I tried to address things of I think like we briefly spoke on it last year when we spoke with like addressing trauma and being more vulnerable and tapping back into okay, why do I act the way I am? Why am I avoidant in certain things like relationships, or don't speak my mind, or I have serious insecurity issues that I'm addressing, you know what I mean? And like I think putting it in this form, like, I'm really lucky to be able to put it into a music form and be like, okay, this is, like, where my mental state is at the moment. This is where I've been for so long, and I'm just ready to, like with mood, like me just constantly being like, I'm waiting on myself. I'm just like at this point where I'm so tired of waiting on myself to accept, pardon me, accept myself and yeah, just move forward with my life. So hopefully this EP's whole thing of me addressing bits of my past with issues with my father, being unwell, obviously being a gay man coming up, growing up in my teenage years, I wasn't around any other gay men. I didn't come out till I was 23, I think. So yeah, like learning to address all these parts of myself took me a much longer time. And I think like with a lot of queer people, it takes them a longer time to figure those things out because we're delayed. So yeah, that's I guess what this main aspect of the project was, to like, okay, these are the causes, this is what's affected me. Like with mourning, can we wait until the mourning passes? Can we wait till, just do it tomorrow? Like, I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Just self-deprecating things where you avoid commitment or moving forward with your life.
You're so introspectively honest, and they're really confronting issues. But I've got to say, I can see your face when you're talking about that kind of, you know, therapeutic journey that you've been on, and you're really happy.
I think I'm at a point where I'm relatively happy. Like, I'm still, like, trying to deal with stress and how I manage my stress and how I act. Like, you could ask my partner how stressy this whole thing has been, like, releasing the music, and he would be like, yeah, no, he needs to chill. But... yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm trying to address all that and just move forward with it, and yeah.
The album sounds pretty chilled though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like moody and like late night kind of music, I guess. Yeah.
Do you write late at night?
A lot of the time. I don't really like doing much music during the day. I can't sit there and relax. Hence, I need to chill. But yeah, no, nighttime is like where I usually like to sit at my computer and be alone and just work on stuff.
Did you record the vocals at night?
A lot of the time, I think, yeah. I think maybe, yeah, I think I did. Yeah, like I'm picturing literally, cause I can remember the sessions that I work in the songs. Like it's funny how your memory works. Like I don't have the best memory, but I can literally remember the whole session. Like for mood, for example, I remember how I felt when I was writing it. I had a really horrible day at work, and came home and did it all in a few hours, and then maybe touched up writing and stuff throughout the next few weeks. But like that was, yeah, done at night. Like most of them were done at night.
It really has that after midnight sound to
yeah.
it. Did you record it at home, obviously? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. No studio needed.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword to me, because I'm like, I could maybe increase the quality in my head, but at the same time, nobody knows. Nobody knows if I'm recording it at home. And in this day and age, like I've got the same equipment that would be using in a studio and paying $600 for a few hours to record stuff that I'm very obsessed with being in my own pocket, you know, like, which is also something I need to work on because I want to collaborate with more people, which I'm figuring that out. But yeah, most of the time I like to be alone by my computer. I'll find a pocket of melody that I've just figured out and I'll write to that. And then I just have to be in my own little zone most of the time. Yeah.
When you're not recording, where do you sing? Where's the place that evokes you to kind of burst into song?
Probably the car.
The car.
I'm pretty self-conscious at home, to be honest.
You don't sing at home?
Not much.
Not like, in the kitchen, not in the shower.
If I'm feeling good, I'll sing about, but like, I think I used to sing a lot more when I was always just used to be singing, but now I think because I produce music, maybe I have more sounds in my head. It sounds a bit weird, but yeah, I don't really find myself singing that much around the house. Like, yeah, it might be just in my practice or in the car when I'm alone again.
How much does clubbing influence the sound of your music or past clubbing experiences?
Maybe more so than I've actually thought about, to be honest.
It has that recovery party sound to it.
Yeah, it does a bit. A little bit of a... Some of it's kind of kick-ons. And then some of it, like Wide Awake has a very floor-to-the-floor, like kind of Jersey Club... epicness in the chorus that was more suited to a club, but you wouldn't be listening to it in a club. It's like, yeah, so there must be some sort of influence. Like I don't really go clubbing per se as much anymore, but I love like a day festival and going out, and I don't really listen to much like electronic stuff without vocals. Like, I wouldn't, you would never find me listening to techno or house or anything like that on my own, you know? Yeah.
How does the sound of your voice in the EP Cause and Effect vary from your natural singing voice? How produced are the vocals?
It comes and goes. Like, I like to have a bit more natural side of it as well, but I've really come to love affecting my vocals. I'm a, like, kind of obsessed, which is very polarizing to people, I think.
Polarizing?
Yeah, like, you know, I just think people don't, I don't know, I'm probably generalizing, but, like, I feel like a lot of people don't like auto-tune, even though, like, most pop records, most huge records will be using a degree of auto-tune. But I've come to really love it because it fits with my music. If I use my raw voice over my dark, moody, electronic synths and pads and beats, it just doesn't fit right. Like, I find, like, using vocal formants and stuff like that, even though I can naturally affect my formant by changing the tone of my voice when I sing, it's so fun to just mess with some knobs, and it makes things interesting to me, makes my writing interesting, it helps me think out different melodies. And but yeah, saying that, I do love to have my natural voice as well. My mum is always like, you know, it would be nice if you just put your voice on it. I'm like, it is still my voice. Like, it's just got some effects on it. But
I wouldn't have thought that your natural singing voice was much different from the vocals.
It's not much different, really. Like, it's pretty much the same. It's just I might adjust different formants in there, like, and, like, make it sound lower, even if it's in the same pitch. Add a chorus, lots of delays and reverbs, and I'll have varying levels of auto-tune. I might write something with auto-tune, then remove it, or vice versa, depending on how the voice is fitting with the track. It really does depend on, like, what the song feels like. Because, yeah, it's not like singer-songwriter or, like, necessarily, like traditional R&B in the sense that the voice is so important of, like, it needs to be so natural, you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm okay in this pocket of, like, it's electronic enough for me to do little bits here and there and not ridicule myself, oh, it's not you, but it's still me, it's still my expression, still my melody, still my, like, writing, you know what I mean?
I want to go back to the clubbing thing, because, I mean, I can just imagine people coming back from clubbing and listening to your music at home after clubbing, and that doesn't surprise me at all, because you do have a bit of a cult following on the gay party scene. Have you noticed that?
A little bit. I don't know if it's just from me meeting people out as well and then following me through there. But yeah, I kind of love that, to be honest, because I love a good chill on and kick ons. I'm, like, reached that age where I'm like, I want to go home and chill and, like, hang out at home and talk. Which is ironic considering the music. But, yeah, no, like, kick-on music, late-drive music is kind of where I like to sit, because that's where I like to listen to music as well most of the time.
So you didn't write the EP with that in mind. It just naturally happened.
I think so, because I'm quite a reserved person, I think. I'm not really, like, loud and I don't know. I think that reflects in my music. So it's like, it makes sense, I guess, in some sense that, like, it's for downtime, not uptime.
I'm pretty confident that over the next couple of months, especially being summer with so many parties happening, that you are going to meet people who say, I was listening to your place after your EP after I went to this place, that'd after be cool. I went to this yeah. club. How cool is that?
I've definitely had some friends be like, oh, like, I play your stuff, like, when I come home. I'm like, yeah, no, perfect. But yeah, I hope that I can, like, tap into that in some way with, like, live stuff as well. Finding, you know, grungy bars to perform in late at night sounds fun to me as well. Not necessarily playing really heavy stuff, but, like my sets kind of become this bridge between ambient sounds, but also, like, heavy, like, dark beats. I don't explain this. So, like, I don't know where it, like, fit exactly, but I love the idea of being, yeah, like, in a club-esque vibe playing my music, not for doofers, but, like, chilling.
You have the EP launch this Sunday in Thornbury. Tell us about that.
Okay, first gig back in, like, I don't even want to say it, it's like 3.5 years.
No way.
Yeah. I pretty much played NGV Friday nights and then did one open a gig 2 weeks later and then was like, sick, I'm back in it, I'm ready to go. And then I got RSI in my arm, which actually also stemmed a lot of this project because during that injury, I wasn't able to work. I lost a lot of friends. I had this guilt complex and... Like the songs like MIA on the project, Dawn, Unstable, Your Call, they were all written in this period before I started working again, May of last year. So yeah, I had that injury, then I just stopped performing and kind of freaked myself out and used that as an excuse not to continue performing. And then that, you know, just you dive into this loop of putting it off all the time because of the fear of it. But I've been, yeah, getting back into just playing at home and figuring out, okay, what does my set look like over the past, like, 6 months? And I'm, like, kicking myself in the foot because I got this Sunday, and as an artist does, I'd never feel prepared. So I'm, like, anxious about it, but I'm excited to get it out of the way and just play it. I've got a great friend, Jack Hallen, playing, opening up for me, another friend, Second Skin, who goes under another moniker called Nabi. And they're both really cool, kind of like almost glitchy pop, ethereal synth pop. Yeah, really good, really talented artists. So that I'm so happy to have them supporting me because, yeah, I'm terrified but also excited.
It's your second EP though, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You've been through this before. Tell us about the first one.
I was a mess. It needed to happen. Like, I needed to get that out at that point. Like, it felt like it was right at the start of COVID. I just dropped out of my uni degree, which is this whole other story, where the project was kind of had started. And from there, I just was like, I just need to finish these songs and get them out. So it felt very rushed, but like, it was kind of magical at the same time. Like the cover art, me and my partner just went and shot one night and just edited. And that was like the most beautiful cover art we've ever done. The visualizers I did again, just on my phone doing some things, but none of the promo was right. None of the marketing was right. I wasn't playing live. COVID had just happened, so we're in lockdowns. So it felt like a very messy project, but I learned a lot from it. And like in the past, you know, it's been 5 years now. We've been figuring out a little bit better, you know, how do we actually try and do this? And still at the very start of learning with where we're at. And I think, which is also why I wanted to keep it as an EP, not an album, because I'm like, I'm just not quite ready there. I want everything to be lining up properly and not feel overwhelmed by it.
You are so modest.
Oh, thanks.
But you are, and that's kind of part of your allure as a performer, because it gives you an emotional resonance to your voice and the mood of the music. Yeah,
thank you.
That's so interesting that you're you're kind of canning yourself for your first EP, but it gave you a cult following.
Yeah, I guess like this definitely it did something. Like people really loved Saved on it. It still gets plays. Some of the songs that I've done in between, like Hypnotica with Dark Eye, who is now Zaylus X. No one really knows here who they are, but he's from Denmark. I work with him a lot. Looking to have another EP come out with him next year, actually.
Wow, so there's another EP in the works.
Yeah, the songs on this project, I haven't written a song on it since December last year. So it was very much me finalizing everything throughout this year and trying to get a move on with everything. But at the same time, I was still creating other stuff. So I've still got, I want to pretty quickly, I know I said this last year, like that I was going to put it out on March, but I want to try and aim to get more music out like February, March. And then... yeah, just aim to collaborate with a lot more people.
How many songs have you got?
I would say like three to five-ish ready to go, but I don't want to put it out as a project. I think I'm just sticking to singles at the moment. And yeah,
EP, you're launching it Sunday.
Yeah, so that'll be good.
Cause and Effect is launched the 7th of December in Thornbury at Shot Kickers. You can get tickets via Mosh Ticks. And what time's it kicking off?
7:30, I think doors were.
Milo, it is so good to see you. I really love Cause and Effect. I love all the tracks on it. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
3CR.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.